Readers, I am thrilled to have Patricia Cornwell as my guest today. As I am sure you know, Patricia is the creator of Dr. Kay Scarpetta, Virginia's chief medical examiner, and the character who changed the face of contemporary crime fiction. Patricia is originally from Miami, but spent formative years in North Carolina. She graduated from Davidson College. In 1979, Cornwell started working as a reporter for the Charlotte Observer and soon began covering crime. In 1984, Patricia took a job at the office of the Chief Medical Examiner of Virginia. She worked there for 6 years, first as a technical writer and then as a computer analyst. She also volunteered to work with the Richmond Police Department. In her early writing days, Cornwell wrote 3 novels that were rejected before publication. But in 1990, she broke through with the first installment of her Scarpetta series, Postmortem. The novel won the Edgar, Creasy, Anthony, and McCavity Awards and the French Prix de Roman d'Aventure in a single year, a feat still unequaled by any other author. In 1999, Dr. Scarpetta, the character, won the Sherlock Award for the best detective created by an American author. Welcome, Patricia. Thanks so much for visiting the Book Report. Red Mist is your 19th Scarpetta novel. I've often wondered how difficult it is to introduce main characters to folks reading you for the first time, while returning readers feel they're picking up right where they left off.
That's a great question, and that is actually the biggest thing that I have to deal with every time I start a Scarpetta novel. And when I began Red Mist, it was the same thing. I have to find a way to make sure I write the book as if the people who are reading it have never read the ones that preceded it. And it's important for people to know that they don't have to read my books in sequence. And in fact, you can pick up Red Mist and not have read the first 18 books, and you're just fine. Because I tell you who Scarpetta is and who the characters are, and I give enough background so that you understand what's gone on before that has placed Scarpetta where she is right this minute. That's a really big challenge with every book, because you don't want to bore people with backstory, but you also don't want to leave somebody out if they've never read any of the books. So that is something that I work very hard to do.
Well, you do it seamlessly, I have to say. In writing this book and all your books, do you spend a certain amount of time assimilating new developments in forensic techniques before putting pen to paper?
Yes, I always begin a book by doing research. When I finished Port Mortuary, for example, and turned it in, that was the last book, I immediately started mapping out the research that I was going to do for the new one. And the first thing that I knew is that I was going to have to go visit a women's prison, because I knew that Scarpetta was going to go down to Georgia and talk to an inmate in prison, and that was going to lead to a big, her getting into a very treacherous situation. So I went to this really, actually excellent women's prison in Tennessee, and spent a long day there getting a tour and exploring every aspect of life in a penitentiary. I talked to a lot of the inmates, and everything from general population to death row. And then basically I used that as a model to create what really is a fictitious prison in Georgia. And I'm sure when people read the book, they'll be glad that the Georgia prison for women doesn't really exist, because it's a horrible place and some really bad things are going on there. So I start doing research, and then when I feel that I have enough to get started, then I start creating the story.
In researching this interview, I was fascinated to learn of the existence of the Body Farm. Can you let our listeners know a little about that?
Yes, the Body Farm is a 2-acre research facility in Knoxville, Tennessee, where people can donate their bodies to forensic and scientific research. And it's been there for over 20 years. And 2 acres surrounded by a very high fence, very close to the riverbank. And it sounds like it's surreal, but there's a waiting list. I mean, a lot of people are very eager to do this, and the bodies are put in all sorts of different situations so that forensic anthropologists and other types of scientists can learn more about decomposition. And the reason that's important is it can tell us things such as time of death, and it also can tell us if something that a forensic pathologist finds with a body might have to do with why that person died, or is it in fact some artifact that occurs very naturally because of the setting the body is in after death, you know, whether it's the woods or the trunk of a car, buried or exposed, clothed or unclothed. There's any variety of things that are done at this facility.
Hmm. The relationships that you write among Scarpetta, Benton, Lucy, and Marino are so complex, and your forensic science is so fascinating. How challenging is it for you to balance the two in the body of the book?
Well, again, that's, you know, everything about writing one of these novels is a challenge. I consider it a little bit like conducting a symphony orchestra. There's so much going on. You have forensic science, forensic medicine, you have the criminal investigation, you have setting, you have these characters, both the ones that people know and new ones that you introduce. And all of it has to work in a certain harmony. You don't want one thing to be louder than another. You don't want things to be out of balance. You don't want so much about the characters' relationships that it overwhelms the plot. And you don't want something that's so much just plot-driven that the characters become two-dimensional. So it's really an art form that I have to be very meticulous with so that it's really so that people really enjoy the ride.
Yeah, I saw your quote referring to the feasibility of writing while on book tour. Quote, my characters would say, we're not going to talk to you right now. If you can't give us your full attention, then come and see us later. So do you channel your characters when you're writing?
Well, it sort of is. I kind of do, because I immerse myself so much in the research and doing, absorbing what I need to really create that world for my readers. And basically, I have to, in many ways, look through Scarpetta's eyes. I'm sort of walking in her shoes, and I just give myself up to that process to make it very real. And it really is true. If I'm very distracted and tired or being very extroverted like I'm being right now, there's no point in my even opening up the story that I'm working on, because nothing's going to happen. It really does require my undivided attention. And in fact, when I really get back into the 20th Scarpetta novel, when I go home, at some point, you know, I will really isolate myself. Sometimes I even go away from home and just so that I'm doing nothing but work, but focusing on the work.
Well, I have to confess, I love Pete Marino. I'd love to have some burgers and beer with him. Is he based on someone real, and how has he evolved throughout your novels?
Actually, Marino's not based on it. None of the characters are based on anybody real or anybody I've ever met. And in fact, they're so unique to me that I've never even met anybody that particularly reminds me of these characters. But Marino has evolved quite a lot since the very first book, which came out in 1990. He's gone from being really sort of a bigoted, kind of crass homicide detective, to then he became a real jerk for a while, to be honest with you. And now I think he's evolved where he's much more of an enlightened person who's funny, but he's really shrewd. He's very devoted to Scarpetta. It's just like I can't imagine the two of them not working together. They really, in fact, this whole team of characters, Lucy, her niece, who's the computer expert, Benton, her husband, who's the FBI criminal investigative analyst, basically a profiler, and then Marino, who's her chief death investigator, they're like an extended family, and they really belong together.
Yeah. How did your interest in helicopters begin?
Well, I was, you know, back in the early 90s, I was using them to get places very quickly and land in places where planes couldn't go. And I just thought, you know, I bet you Lucy would be a helicopter pilot. This is Scarpetta's niece. So I started taking lessons, and of course I fell in love with it. And I've had my pilot's license for about 12 years now, and I have my own helicopter. It's really fun to give the readers a chance to know what it feels like to fly a helicopter. And in order to do that, it's really important that I know what it feels like. It's the same with motorcycles and fast cars, or in one of my books, Scarpetta has to scuba dive, so I learned how to do that. I try to experience things within reason so I can make it very, very real for my readers.
Fox Studios has acquired the film rights to the Scarpetta novels, and Angelina Jolie is set to play the character. Have you met her, and would you like to write the screenplay?
I have met Angelina Jolie, and She is attached to the Scarpetta movie. I mean, no one has actually been cast yet. It's still the early stages. And there's a wonderful screenwriter named Cary O'Salem who actually has written the script, and I've become very good friends with him, and I help him in any way that he needs, but I'm not a screenwriter. I wish I were. In the old days, I actually tried to write screenplays when we've been through so many movie options for this character, but it's just not my gift. And I have enough respect for other types of artists to know that you have to let them do what they know how to do, and I can't do everything. So we're hoping that we're going to start filming next year, 2012, and I'm also very hopeful that maybe fairly soon we're going to start hearing more details about when things are going to start happening with this movie.
Mm. So is your next book going to be another Scarpetta book or something else?
I am already well into my 20th Scarpetta novel. As soon as I get home from book tour and get rested, I'm going to get back to work on that. And I'm feeling excited about it. I think it's going to be a really fun book.
Oh, thank you so much for joining us today. And I'm almost done with reading Red Mist, and I have to say I'm so enjoying it.
Well, thank you. And I'm happy to tell you it's already landed at number one on the for hardback fiction and ebooks on the New York Times list and also for USA Today. So that's very happy news.
Well deserved, I might say. Thanks a lot. All right. Bye.